Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Praise God. The title of the message tonight is, Are You Being House Trained? Are you being house trained? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says, I write to you so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Say, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. It says, wisdom has built her house. She has made it strong with seven pillars. Glory to God. Psalm 92, verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. Hallelujah. Are you planted in the house of the Lord? Because if you're planted in the house of the Lord, you'll take on the character of that house. And you will flourish in the courts of God. Are you planted in this house? Do you know that you're planted in this house? Does this? Have you made this house your spiritual home? Because if you have, you will take on the character of this house. And I'll tell you that, you know, the Bible talks about the household of faith. Every house of God is part of the household of faith. And if you take on, if you recognize that you've been planted in the house of God, then you will begin to operate and to live by faith, because that's the rule. In that house. It's the rule of faith. Hallelujah. And you will flourish. If you have faith, you will flourish in the courts of God. You will have boldness to come into His presence and to stand in His presence and to ask Him for mercy. Amen. That's when you get what you don't deserve. That's a good place to start, because most of us don't deserve much. So thank God we can come in not to collect. See, the Bible talks about wages, but it talks about the wages of sin. I don't know about you, but I worked overtime for these wages. And I had a big fat pay packet waiting for me. But the problem is, when I went to collect my wages, it said death on it. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life. Are you not glad that you're not going to collect your wages? Some of us deserve, come on, bonuses and everything. Never go to God and ask Him for what you deserve. Amen. Never go and ask Him for your wages, because your wages are death. But the gift of God, we can come boldly, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, we can come boldly into the very throne room of God. And there we can obtain mercy, which is when we get what we don't deserve. Hallelujah. That's life. Life in all of its fullness, life in its abundance, and we can find grace to help us, says, in our time of need. Whatever it is, God has got supernatural assistance available to us to help us, whatever our need is. Hallelujah. Thank God it starts with mercy, because that deals with all the stuff, all the issues, all the problems, all the reasons why we shouldn't receive grace. We need mercy first. That qualifies us for grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 14, it says that Abraham had 318 trained servants who were born in his own house. They were trained in Abraham's house. Who's Abraham the father of? Well, according to Romans chapter 4, verse 11, he's the father of all those who believe. Are you a believer tonight? Do you have faith tonight? Well, it says that Abraham is the father of all those who believe. So if you were trained in Abraham's house, you'd be trained in what? You'd be trained in faith. 318 trained servants. When Abraham heard that his nephew Lot had been taken captive along with the king of Sodom and a few other folks by some demonized kings around that region, he gathered up his 318 trained servants and said, let's go down there and sort out this matter. Now, 318 guys might not sound like a whole lot against however many thousands there were on the other side. But when you've been trained in the household of faith, you don't ask questions. You don't bring all of the doubts and all of the concerns and all of the fears and all of the anxieties. You say, hey, let's go do it. Yeah. They were Abraham's special forces. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You know, when Abraham went out with Isaac in response to God's commandment to go out to the mountain to sacrifice his son, he took some servants with him, and he came to a point where he left the servants and he said to them, the boy and I will return. They didn't ask any questions. They didn't say, but hang on a minute, you look as if you've got sticks, you've got a knife and you've got some fire. It looks like you're into some sacrifice. And where's the sacrifice? And he said, me and the boy. Well, return. Isaac asked, where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord will provide. Isaac didn't ask anything else. That's what happens when you're trained in the household of faith. Come on, you don't have questions, you don't have doubts, you don't have concerns, you don't express your fears and your anxieties. You just take God at his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. If you were trained in Abraham's house, you'd have been trained in faith. You'd have been trained to believe God. You'd have been trained to take his word seriously. Come on, you'd have been trained to speak forth the things that are not as though they were. The things that did not exist as though they did. Didn't matter what you felt like, what you looked like, how things appeared, you spoke faith. You spoke forth what God said. Hallelujah. You expected God to do exactly what he said he would do. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Who knows, the guys who hung out with Jesus were called disciples for one reason. They were in training. They were being trained. As the household of faith, they were being trained to live in God's house, to be part of God's family. They were being trained to believe. They were being trained to take God at his word. They were being trained to expect him to do exactly what he said he would do. I mean, did they ever mess up during that training process? Yes, they most certainly did. Did Jesus condemn them for their failures? No, he didn't. They might have felt rebuked sometimes, but he never condemned them. They were never condemned for their failures. Many years ago, the Lord said to me, he said, go and teach my people faith. Teach them faith. Teach them to take me at my word, to take what I say and just believe it. Without questions, without doubts, without fears, without anxieties, without concerns, without unbelief, without theology and the doctrines of men. Just teach them to take me at my word. If you're part of this house, you've been trained in faith. If you're trained in this house, you'll be trained in faith. You'll be trained to believe God, to take him at his word, to always expect him to do exactly what he says he will do. Will we ever mess up? Yes. Will you be condemned for messing up? No. Will you ever feel rebuked? Yes. But you'll never be condemned. There's a big difference between being rebuked and being condemned. Jesus rebuked his disciples many times for their lack of faith, for their immature faith. But he never condemned them. So if you're part of this house, sometimes you will feel rebuked, but you'll never be condemned. And the training continues. We clean up the mess, and we continue towards our goal of being completely house trained. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, till we all come to that measure of the fullness of faith. Hallelujah. Completely house trained. No more mess ups. Come on. Hallelujah. That's God's heart. That's God's purpose. That's God's plan. So in every circumstance that we encounter, we respond with one thing. Faith. You know, the last couple of weeks we spent some time in Elgin with Katrina's sister and her family. They've got a new dog. Just a very young dog. Young puppy. It's a very high pedigree cross of a retriever and a Labrador. It's called Duke. And it's still in training. They can't understand when they say sit that they don't mean on the couch with them. I mean, I'll tell you, it brings a whole new definition to social animal. I mean, I'll tell you, man, this dog thinks he's human. He wants to be with you, doing what you're doing, not rooting around in the garden or whatever dogs do, sniffing lampposts or whatever it is they get up to. He wants to be where you are, doing what you're doing. Katrina was tucked up under a blanket on the couch. He wanted to be tucked up under that blanket as well. He gets his nose in there, you know, and then can you understand why he kept saying, sit, and it meant sit on the floor, not sit on the couch. Hallelujah. I mean, over the last few years, I was looking forward to going there and walking the dog until I remembered that the protocol for dog walking has changed somewhat. since the last time that I went over the hills with my dog. Now you have to take a poop scoop and a wee bag. You know, I've been driving my bus around, you know, in the mornings, and I notice people walking their dog, you know. Most of them, they seem to have lost the joy. honestly, I like to observe people, and I look and I watch, and I think there's something missing in people's faces now, it's almost like this is very much more of a chore. And then usually I go in a road and turn at the end of the road and come back out, and I see the reason, because since I've gone in and turned and come back, they're carrying a wee bag. And so although I'd been looking forward to taking the dog for a walk, when I remember this new protocol, I'll tell you, my dog walking score is zero. I think Katrina took the poor dog for a walk a couple of times. I just opened the back door. You need to understand, you see, the whole purpose of house training is to equip the one being trained to go outside. Do you hear what I said? You're wondering where this was going, weren't you? Well, let's get back on track. The training in this house is to equip people and prepare you to go and to do the work of the ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's not always on the inside. Most of that's on the outside. Now, sometimes that will involve a few in-house mess-ups. And sometimes it will include a few mess-ups outside that others will have to clean up for you. And so I went online and I found on www.caninemagazine.com the golden rules of house training. Number one, praise in brackets wildly when they do go outside. We're not always good at this in the church, you know that. We don't want to flatter people, you know. Now, flattery is insincere praise, so never let your praise for someone be insincere. That's flattery. But it's okay. You know, we don't want to puff up people, but, you know, we all need encouragement. We all need encouragement. So lay on the praise when someone steps out in faith. Don't be afraid to applaud testimonies. Come on, sometimes you get one person sort of looking around, giving it a one wee nervous clap, and then maybe two or three will quietly join in, but never be afraid to applaud testimonies. When people actually go outside and step out in faith and do something by faith, applaud that. Hallelujah. Come on. So, number one, praise wildly when they do go outside. Hallelujah. Amen. Our brother there deserves applause because he's outside every day. He goes outside and he preaches the gospel because that's what he's been commissioned to do. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Number two. Oh, never mind. Anyway. Never scare or startle if catching them in the act indoors. Who knows, sometimes in church people mess up. Sometimes they forget who they are. Sometimes they revert to their default position. Start doing what comes natural to them instead of walking in the supernatural. So if you come across someone who's gossiping or who's talking negatively, or don't just steamroller in there with a big stick. Come on. But just come in there gently. Steer the conversation back. And say something positive. They're talking about somebody, run them down. Say something positive about that person. Begin to steer the conversation back on track again. Amen. Get everything back into a positive direction. See, training's about teaching and guiding a particular skill or type of behavior through practice and instruction over a period of time. Not many people get it right first time or second time. Or third time. Sometimes people in training, as I said, fall back into their default position of just doing what comes naturally. But let me just say this tonight. If you can't mess up in church, where can you mess up? Come on. But sadly, that's, you mean church is the last place you're allowed to mess up. One mess and you're out. Come on. Nobody told me that dog was going down. I've had enough of that. Out, not coming back in again, you ugly brute. Come on. That's the way we've treated people in church. One mess up and they're out. One getting it wrong. One saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. Come on. Just doing what comes naturally. Maybe getting out of the spirit. Come on, it's like the lady who was that was prophesying, you know. She started out in the spirit, you know, and she brought this word, and then at the end of it, she said, "And by the way, I've not had such a good time as I had tonight since I parted the Red Sea, says the Lord." Another fellow at a conference in Africa, I think it was in Nigeria, he stood up and he began to prophesy. He said, "Thus says the Lord, I'm going to be bringing the same message this year as I brought last year." Or was it the year before? Now you can get the big rocks out. Whoa, false prophet. Whoa, get him out. Or you can say, "He messed up." If you can't mess up in church, where can you mess up? If you can't get it wrong in church, if there's no opportunity for training over a period of time where there's mercy and grace extended to people. Number two, never scare or startle if catching them in the act indoors. Number three, never, ever, under any circumstances, rub their nose in any accidents. This doesn't work and is very unhealthy, entirely unhealthy and unpleasant, that's what it says. Come on. Who knows, unfortunately in the church we've been professionals at that. Come on, someone messes up and they get their noses well and truly rubbed in it. I have to confess, when I had a puppy, that's what I thought he was supposed to do. But anyway, never know better. Oops. What happened to mercy? Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." That's maybe why there's so few people queuing up at the throne for mercy and finding grace to help them. Maybe that's why there's so many of God's people who don't appear to be really operating in faith and receiving the rewards of faith. Maybe it's because they're not being merciful. And so because of that, the Bible says when your heart does not condemn you, you have confidence with God. Amen. Maybe there's some people struggle to go for mercy because they know they've got no mercy for anybody else. Well, last night I mentioned that guy who, remember, who famous, well-known guy who told everyone that he had cancer, remember? And his family thought he had cancer. They thought he was going for treatment. He began to manifest all the symptoms of cancer. He was going around with an oxygen tank and a mask, but he was a well-known minister, a young man, a minister of music, and he wrote songs, and he wrote an incredible song. I think it's called "The Healer." It's called. And everybody thought, what a song! And there was such an anointing on this song. And he was singing it amongst thousands of people, and it was recorded, and it was put on CDs. And then it turned out that he didn't really have cancer in his body. He had a cancer in his soul that was manifesting a sickness in his body. And the cancer in his soul was he was addicted to pornography. Now, as long as he was on the stage singing that song, "I Believe You're My Healer," for cancer, everybody was lifting up their hands and shouting hallelujah and applauding him. But as soon as it came out that the truth of the matter was that he was addicted to pornography, they grabbed him and rubbed his nose in it and threw him out the door. Are you telling me that's the way it's supposed to be? Is it okay to have a cancer in your body and believe that God's your healer? See, I want to tell you, when he wrote that song, I believe that song was coming out of that need. Yeah. That need for healing that was in his life, that was in his soul. That was in the soul realm. He had a big cancer, a big sickness in his soul, and he was saying, "I believe you're my healer." But all of a sudden it's, I remember when, who remembers Jimmy Swagger? He's back on TV, but he's nothing compared to where he used to be. We used to have videotapes. Man, we'd watch them every night, bless God, back in the 80s, man, getting so blessed and edified and encouraged. And man, I mean, that guy had an anointed pinky, you know what I'm talking about? He'd get at a piano and he'd start playing, and I was fascinated by his pinky. His pinky would be over here going, brrrr, you know what I'm saying? Sweet, sweet anointing. coming down to make me clean. He was singing. One day I was out delivering milk and the pastor of the church pulled up in his car. He says, "Donnie." I said, "Yes." "You still got them videotapes?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Put them in the bin." I said, "What are you on about?" He says, "Jimmy Swaggart's just been on the news. He was caught with a prostitute." Some of the best messages I heard him preach, he preached after that, you know. He released a series. And he spoke about all of the people who'd been with him and on his back, and he wanted him at their big conferences, and he had at his big conferences, and they wanted to have him in their TV show, and he had them on their TV show. He just immediately turned their back on him, walked away from him. He said, "I was getting more grace from the Catholics than from any of my Pentecostal brethren." Somebody asked him, "Jimmy, why did you not ask for help?" He says, "I didn't think there was anybody I could ask." That was at the level he was operating at. And with the people he was mixing with and fellowshipping with, he said, see, there was no, he felt there was nobody that he could explain his mess up to. Is that the way, do you think that's the way it's supposed to be? What is this? What's the number three golden rule of house training? Let me get back to that. Hallelujah. Never, ever, under any circumstances, rub their nose in any accidents. Remember when that guy, that song, the healer song, they took it off some of the CDs because of the implications. That's like ripping half of the book of Psalms out because David messed up with Bathsheba. Think about it. That's like saying, "Oh well, every psalm that David wrote, we better get it out, get him, rip them out, rip them out." He had an accident, he messed up, he blew it. Did God rub his nose in it? No, he sent a rebuke to him, but he did not condemn him. He wrote more powerful psalms after that than he did. Psalm 51. They reckon Psalm 23 was written after that. Hallelujah. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He causes me to lie down in green pasture." Come on. He's the one who's with you in the valley of the shadow of death. You are with me. I will fear no evil. That's faith talking. Restore to me, he said in Psalm 51, you know, he cried out to God to create a clean heart within him, to renew a right spirit within him. That's faith. Amen. You know, that was faith that was going beyond the old covenant into the new covenant. That's how much faith that was coming from. That couldn't happen in the old covenant. That couldn't happen until after Jesus went to the cross. He could not have a clean heart and a renewed spirit. But his faith was going way beyond the old and into the new. After he messed up. All he ever wanted, he said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Hallelujah. He'd been trained in the house of God. How to behave, how to conduct yourself in the house of God. Hallelujah. There's only one way, and that's by faith. By taking God at his word. By going after him for mercy and grace. Because there's no other way to make it, folks. You have no other way you and I are ever going to make it without mercy first and then grace. God puts them in a very specific order for a very specific purpose. Hallelujah. Never rub their noses in it. This doesn't work, it says, and is entirely unhealthy and unpleasant. You know that some churches are full of unhealthiness and unpleasantness simply because of that. Because of judgmentalism, because of people who cannot mess up without being judged and excluded. Come on, criticized. I've been part of churches, man, when people wouldn't talk to you. They shun you. Where did they get? They didn't get that in here. No idea where in the world they got it from. They never got it in here. But anyway, we spent enough on that one, you. Hallelujah. In fact, let me read a scripture. James chapter 5. This is God's prescription for dealing with us. God doesn't say ignore mess-ups. I tell you, you leave a mess-up for a while, it's going to cause a bigger mess. Somebody's going to stand on it. It's going to take it all the way through the house. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? There's going to be a bad smell that's going to permeate the house. You've got to clean it up. But God's got a prescription for everything. How to behave yourself, how to conduct yourself in the house of God, Paul says to Timothy. Well, James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? I'm just talking about physical sickness. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Isn't that what David said? He anoints my head with oil. When did he write that? After he messed up. Come on. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't put me out because I messed up. Come on. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of what? The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Oh, hallelujah. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. If it's a sickness of the soul, if it's a result of some sin in that person's life, the sin will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses. Jimmy, why could you not share it with anybody? Because I didn't think there was anybody I could share it with. Because I thought if I confessed my trespasses, they wouldn't just pray with me and bring me to a place of healing. They'd condemn me and ostracize me. Come on. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. That's God's prescription for mess ups. Did you hear any nose rubbing in there? Did you hear any nose rubbing in his prescription? No, it's not there. Number four. I like this one. Try to spot the telltale signs telling you they need to go. These include circling. Come on. Think children of Israel, wilderness, 40 years. They needed to go into the place that God had for them and begin the work of taking that land and possessing that land. Come on. Sniffing in corners. How's it going over there, Ali? All right? But come on. Thank the Lord he's not sniffing. Come on, think about it. Stay in the spirit here, folks. Whining for no apparent reason. Come on. This is the new wine church, not the new wine church. Sometimes a new wine shows up. Oh, this and that, the next thing, that's time. They need to say, get out. Stop navel gazing. Stop focusing on your own wee deal. Get out there. You need to recognize the signs when it's time to say, go. Go do what you're equipped to do. Go do what you're prepared to do. Go do what you're anointed to do. That'll get the focus off you and your little rinky-dinky deal that's become so big in your own eyes and your own opinion. Whining for no apparent reason and any time shortly after eating or drinking. So, you know, this is about you getting fed tonight to go out there and do what you've been fed to do. What you've been strengthened to do. This is about going back into work tomorrow morning with a testimony, with a message for people. That God loves them and he's got a plan for them. That Jesus died for their sins so they could be reconciled to their Father in heaven. So they could begin to walk in the destiny that he has for them. This is what this is about. This is not about passing a religious hour. This is not about marking your card so God might let you into heaven if you've got enough X's on it. Come on. A few gold stars for good attendance. Come on. We're trained for a purpose, and that purpose is to go. And so we need to provide opportunities to go so that we don't end up with mess in-house. Messes in-house. Come on. In-house. Some churches are totally absorbed with in-house messes because they didn't let people go. They didn't recognize that when it was time to send people out, tell them they needed to go. People circling, sniffing in corners, whining for no apparent reason. And taking the food and drink and then not exercising with it. The reason you eat is so you can use up that energy in living. Hallelujah. If you don't do that, you sit in a corner and you get fat. And it becomes to the point where you can't move anymore, even if you wanted to. And unhealthiness comes on the back of that. Come on. Number five. This is the last one. Well, hallelujah. It is inevitable that there will be accidents, but as they get older and in combination with a well-planned house training program, they will get better. Amen. You know, I read something else. I meant to put this down, but on that website, and it said that there's many dogs end up in rescue houses because people didn't have the patience to see the dog through the training. How many people are on the sidelines of the church tonight? Because the people that they were, because the Word of God says that when you're saved, you're added to the church. God sets the solitary in families. How many people are on the sidelines of the church tonight because the church didn't have the people that they were placed amongst didn't have the patience to see them through the training? Come on. Somebody help me. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're amening. I heard that on God TV one time. I thought it was real cool. I thought I'm going to get to use that one day. Come on. Hallelujah. It's inevitable that there will be accidents, but as they get older and in combination with a well-planned house training program, they will get better. Proverbs 24, verse 16 says this, "For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again." See, failure never has to be the end. It can simply be the forerunner to success. You need to see failure as a launch pad to success. Amen. That's all it needs to be. It never has to be the end. It can be the beginning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, and one translation says this, "All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, for training in righteousness or right living, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." Hallelujah. Amen. What's the household? The household of faith. How do we live? How do we conduct ourselves in the house of God? By taking God at His word. By taking Him seriously. By expecting Him to do what He says He will do. Will there be mess ups on the way? Undoubtedly. Will God condemn us when we mess up? No. But He might rebuke us. And sometimes His word comes to us when we're in places of doubt and unbelief and we've locked ourselves in there. And His word comes to rebuke us for our unbelief. Why? So that we can be inspired back to faith again. Restored back to faith again. His word doesn't come to condemn you. It comes to inspire your faith. Oh, well, I gave up on that because nothing was happening. I've been waiting for 4 years now for this healing. Well, why? What are you going to change to? You know what I mean? What are you going to give up on? Come on, it's a no-brainer. Come on. What if I believe God and I die? Win-win. I tell you this, I'd rather die in faith. We've already heard that tonight, how fearsome it is to die without God, to die with no faith. Someone said that the housekeeper that Voltaire had, he was a sworn atheist. Somebody said the housekeeper that he had with him on his deathbed said, "I'll never, ever, ever work with an atheist again." She said it was the most fearful thing she'd ever experienced, and she never, ever, ever, ever would work with another atheist. Because his death was so fearsome. Man, if I believe God to die. Well, glory to God, you'll die in faith. You won't be the first, you won't be the last. Hallelujah. Come on. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, it's only a shadow. It's not really death, it's just a shadow of death. The enemy wants to pull you into death, but God's already given you life. So on the way through to the fulfillment of that eternal life that He's given you, you have to pass under a shadow. Death's saying, I'll get you. And you're saying, no, you won't. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you being house trained? Have you been trained in the ways of this house? Do you love faith? Do you love the fact that God's designed us to live by faith? Does faith excite you? Does the promises of God do something on the inside of you, stir you up? Does it bring expectancy to you? Come on, we were singing, those who wait, those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's stand up. It's hard to run when you're sitting down, isn't it? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you being His trained? Are you responding to that training? Are you giving up on it? Are you giving up on other people and thinking it's impossible for them ever to be trained? Hallelujah. Have you been trained to know that you can get back up when you fall? Have you fallen down under something and you thought there's no way back? I want you to hear tonight. I want to bring something that will fire your faith tonight. To tell you that I don't care what you fell down under. Doesn't matter what circumstance has brought you down. I want to tell you tonight you can rise again. Amen. You can rise again. By the righteousness that comes by faith, you will rise again. Amen. You will come back into that place of knowing that your status with God never changed. Amen. Your standing with Him hadn't changed. Amen. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what you came under. Doesn't matter what you got pulled into. You can get up again. Hallelujah. You can begin to live for God. And it's not a second rate living for God. He's not putting you on probation. Amen. He's not putting you. When that boy came home, that prodigal boy came home, he didn't stick him down with the servants like his religious prayer asked. The father didn't even pass any comment on that prayer. He just totally ignored it. And he restored him to a better place. To a stronger place, to a more secure place, to a place where he had a greater revelation than he ever had of what it meant to live in the Father's house. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Doesn't matter what you've been under. Doesn't matter what has pulled you down. I want to tell you tonight, you will rise again. If you'll just take hold of God's word by faith. That's all. I'm not asking you to do anything else but take God's promise by faith. That we were singing about the blood. You need to understand the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood is enough. The blood is still crying out. The blood of Jesus is still wet on the mercy seat of heaven. Still crying out mercy. Speaking better things than the blood of Abel. Hallelujah. It's crying mercy, mercy, mercy. If you want mercy, mercy is available to you because of the blood. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every precious person in here tonight. I thank you, Father, for the plan and the purpose that you have for each one of us. That your plans are always for good and never for evil. Thank you, Lord. Your plan is for us to live, to experience life and enjoy it in all of its fullness. And one day, if we have to pass through the valley of the shadow, it'll be no more than a shadow. Hallelujah. As we enter into that place, Lord God. Hallelujah. Where there's no more sin. Hallelujah. No more death. No more garbage. No more mess-ups. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, I just pray that would be the experience of every life in here tonight. That every life would respond with the faith that you've given us. And grab a hold of your word with both hands. And begin to move forward into the fullness of what you have. In Jesus' name. Amen. You ready to praise Him? You ready to praise Him? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.